Cat Mayo Hour.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, Week 6 DFS Thursday Night Ownership Recap. We're going to try to project out some ownership levels, which means I'm going to take some, you know, calculated guesses at it. Probably won't be close. That's why I have my friends from FanshareSports.com to give me the best aggregation of who the touts are talking about this week and how that projects into ownership. We'll review last week's. We'll look at the top numbers from this week's, plus the numbers from FantasyAces.com from the Thursday night to Monday night $3 contest. It had just under 700 people in it this week. The sample, obviously, is shrinking, so it's not going to be as accurate. And as always, remember, on Fantasy Aces, there are two quarterbacks, so the quarterback ones get a bit wonky. But let's get into running backs. LeSean McCoy at the very top at 47%. I love Shady this week, but 47%. I mean, it's a pretty logical fade at that point. Christine Michael, 31. Lamar Miller, 30. Le'Veon Bell, 25. Jordan Howard, 18. DeMarco Murray, 14. Gurley, 8. Ingram, 7. Riddick, 6. Charles, 6. I'm kind of stunned not to see Le'Veon Bell at the very top. I know I just expected him to be the chalk this week because he's Le'Veon Bell. He's the best running back. He has the best matchup. There's no David Johnson on this slate. I get he's a lot of money, but people, Le'Veon Bell should be owned more than LeSean McCoy. Let's be real here. Like LeSean McCoy a lot. He's a very good price, but Le'Veon Bell is probably the way that you want to go with this. And the Christine Michael thing, I suppose I should touch on this now. There is a weather warning for Seattle. A lot of wind, a lot of rain, but you know that was on Wednesday. And then people were like, oh, how could you use Russell Wilson in the Seahawks passing game? I'd like to wait till we get a bit closer to it because as of today, it already seems like there's not going to be any rain. It's going to have passed by that time, maybe some light drizzle. But if there's no wind, then I really don't care. So I still think that the Seahawks passing game right now and that sort of stack is still live as long as you pay attention to the weather report. I know it's a late game, but fortunately, this isn't NBA on DraftKings. You can still make a late swap or two if you want. But I do think this is going to hurt the ownership of a lot of players in that Seattle game and the Atlanta game for that matter, because when we look at Ryan and Julio, they're way down on the list too. Everyone's now gravitating towards Christine Michael, mainly because they think, oh, there's not going to be any passing, there's going to be a lot of running, you can run on Atlanta. I think that makes a lot of logical sense, but I think there's going to be enough weather concerns to keep people off of that game, which could make a pretty nice buying opportunity. So I'd be a bit specious, let's say, of the ownership numbers from Thursday night regarding a lot of the Seahawks players. It might be a bit lower. Michael might be around this number. I wouldn't guess so, though, because on Fantasy Aces, he's $49.50, which is a really nice price. And if you look on DK, he's $68. On FanDuel, he's $74. So he's not going to be that high. I do think that he will be somewhat popular, though. It kind of stunned me to see him more owned than Bell. I know Bell was almost $1,500 more on Fantasy Aces, but still, he's Le'Veon Bell. Let's go here. The next level, David Johnson in the Monday Nighter was 5%, so a lot of that ownership, because he is around the same price as DeMarco Murray and Le'Veon Bell, I would expect to go on to those two guys. C.J. Anderson was 5% in the Thursday Nighter. Big mistake there. I mean, penalties really held you down, but still. Carlos Hyde, 5%. Love Carlos Hyde this week. Ryan Matthews and Isaiah Crowell, 5%. Like both those guys, too. I prefer Isaiah Crowell. Gordon was 4% owned. Elliott, Bernard, and James White, 4%. Tevin Coleman, Devonta Booker was 3% on Thursday night. Then you have like Powell, Cameron Artis Payne, LeGarrette Blount's down here. Jonathan Stewart is very intriguing to me at 1% ownership, mainly because I don't know if coming off a concussion that the Panthers are going to be like, you know what, Cam, we're inside the 5-yard line. I think you should put your head down, try to truck stick someone and get in the end zone. He may still do that. He's Cam Newton. I mean, that's what he does. That's the best part of his game. But if they go away from that, especially after how Cameron Artis Payne ran the ball effectively inside the 10-yard line last Monday night, Jonathan Stewart, if he can get back and be healthy, which it looks like he's on track to do, could actually start getting some of the goal line work. And that's always the thing that inhibits Jonathan Stewart's ability to be a great fantasy player. In this spot at 1% ownership, that is a game with a very high projected point total. Plus, if you want to get exposure to it, most people are either loading up on Greg Olsen from the Carolina side, or they are just taking everyone on the Saints, especially the cheap guys and Breeze. Jonathan Stewart might be a very nice way to get some exposure to that game, yet it still have very, very down costs. Obviously, a lot riskier. This is why we're talking GPPs here, but still, it's a decent spot, I think. I mean, I've been known to be wrong in the past, so you know, don't quote me on that one. Other guys, sub 1%, Eddie Lacy, Terrence West, Arian Foster, Matt Jones, Chris Ivory, somewhat intriguing. Obviously, we still don't know the reason that he missed those games earlier in the season because of illness, but now coming off a bye, he was starting to get a little bit more work in that London game. It could be a chance where he starts getting that goal line work. He starts getting more carries for the Jags as they try to control the clock a little bit better, and you can run on Chicago pretty easily, even in Chicago. So it could be a spot. You still have to worry that TJ Yeldon's going to get such a big piece of the pie that it doesn't matter. It caps his upside, but no one's really owning Chris Ivory right now at $3,500 on DraftKings, $5,400 on FanDuel. He doesn't have to do much. He scores a touchdown, and he's already returned value in terms of cash games. He scores two. He's a great GPP play, or one with a bit of yardage, maybe a catch or two. Probably won't be a catch or two, but you know what I'm saying. Is it's just a very low ownership of those guys down there. Terrence West, I mean, I know they changed offensive coordinators, but I still think that he's the lead guy right now, and as long as they don't throw the ball 50 times like they've been wont to do so far this season, Terrence West, if he can get to that 15 to 20 carry range, maybe get a little bit involved. I know with Buck Allen around and Terrence West may not end up as a big part of the receiving game. Kenneth Dixon can come and usurp his touch load. But right now, I think that Terrence West is worth a shot or two. I mean, these are on very minimal teams. To go overweight on these guys is not going to take very much. If you play 10 lineups and you have them in one, or you play 20 lineups and have them in one, either way, you're massively overweight on these guys. I think they're worth flyers if you want to go that route. For me, though, when I look at it, Elliott is a really interesting play at 7,000 on DK, 8,100 on FanDuel. The big talk so far this season has been about Green Bay. Green Bay has been historically good against the run. They're giving up just around 2 yards per carry. Hard to run on them. But who they faced, really? And what are the circumstances leading to that very minuscule yard per carry amount? Well, Sam Shields has been out, which means that teams are just throwing all over the Packers, because you can do that. So have they really been tested on the ground? And when you face a very run-heavy team like Dallas, who's been very effective running the ball, and Elliott, who's been very effective out of the backfield, it could be a spot where maybe Green Bay's run defense isn't actually the best of the best. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's average. Who knows? But this could be a spot where no one's using Elliott. You know he's going to get his 25 touches. You know he's going to get his goal line work if it comes through. If he has even just a decent game here, based on volume alone, I can see Ezekiel Elliott being a very sneaky tournament play. So for all those people, the 47% of you taking LeSean McCoy around the same price, pivoting onto Ezekiel Elliott may not be such a bad idea if you, you know, want to put a little bit of risk in your life. Obviously, McCoy has the better matchup. Obviously, Lamar Miller has a better matchup. All the guys at the top have better matchups than Ezekiel Elliott. But, I mean, TJ Yeldon couldn't do anything against the Packers. Big deal. Who cares? Adrian Peterson couldn't do anything against anyone. Of course he didn't do anything against the Packers. The Vikings running game is putrid right now. So, not a big shocker they shut those guys down. And you start looking down the list and looking at the opponents that the Packers have played on Sunday night. The Packers get out to a lead. Well, what are you going to do? They got up by 50 points against the Lions, and the Lions can't run the ball anyway. So there is a chance that maybe it's just league average. That's all I'm saying, and that a 4% Ezekiel Elliott could be in a really nice spot in tournament play. Other than that, Carlos Hyde, I'm shocked to see him down at 5%, especially being 5,100 on DraftKings. That is a superb value. I'm probably going to end up using him in cash games as well. I think he can return that pretty easily, even with Colin Kaepernick under center for the 49ers. I guess the other big one right now, like Ingram had the flu. Theo Riddick was dealing with an ankle. Looks like he's going to play. Jamal Charles, 6%. I'm going to be using Jamal Charles in some tournament lineups. My projection that I've been sticking to most of the week until I hear any differently, that whether it's a beat reporter or the coaches come out and say anything, is that I think he plays 60 to 65% of the KC snaps. And against the Oakland defense, that projects somewhere between 13 and 19 touches. If you end up on the high end of that, Jamal Charles can end up with a supreme day here. He could also end up with a zero. That's the risk that you get with playing Jamal Charles. I'm not going to be using him in cash games, but I think there is still significant upside for him in this matchup. And if he is 100%, if they just went back and reverted to the way that they used to use Jamal Charles, then you're golden. And he's a really nice price. He has below 10% ownership. I really like that spot right now. But again, for me, Le'Veon Bell is the guy at the top. I'll probably end up fading McCoy, Michael, and Miller in GPPs if their ownership is going to remain that high. This week, for the FanShareSports.com running back tags, no surprise to see who's at the top, It's LeSean McCoy. He is tied with Le'Veon Bell for the most mentions. Jamaal Charles is number three. And this is an interesting situation because it's only a 56 sentiment to put him in. So what the aggregation does, it talks about players that are mentioned, good or bad. Most of the time, people talk up good players because as someone who does this, you know, professionally, I mean, talks into a camera professionally, but people hear what you say, you want to stay away from saying guys are going to be busts because if they go off, you get a lot of heat for that. So when people write up players throughout the industry, you always just talk about the guys that are going to be good, not necessarily the good guys, potentially, who could be bad. It's a way that people do to save face. It's kind of shitty, but that's what people do. I mean, people want to protect their jobs, not look like idiots. I look like an idiot all the time. I'll say that people suck and don't suck, and, you know, I'm always wrong. So when you're always wrong, people really can't say anything to you. But what they're saying right here is Jamaal Charles is being talked up, but people are taking a stance on him either way, which is nice to see. Only 56% of that sentiment comes in as positive. So only 56% of people are sort of on board with my case for Jamaal Charles. The other people are saying just fade him. So although he is number three in the running back FanShare Sports tags, I doubt his ownership will actually be higher than that 6%. DeMarco Murray is at number four. Lamar Miller, number five, tied with Jordan Howard. Ryan Matthews, Theo Riddick at number seven. LeGarrette Blount at number nine. Michael Crowell, Freeman Hyde, and Ezekiel Elliott all come in at number 10. And to review what happened last week, because I think that's important to do to see how the projections came out, Jordan Howard was the most talked about guy on FanShare Sports. He came in at 41%. That was the most on the DraftKings Sunday slate. DeMarco Murray was second. He ended up sixth in ownership. Terrence West was eighth after being third most mentioned. Melvin Gordon was tied for fourth in mentions. He was 11th owned. People got off the Melvin Gordon bandwagon at the last second. Jerick McKinnon and DeAndre Washington were 4 and 5. They ended up 3 and 2 in terms of ownership. Blount was the seventh most talked about guy, but only 17th in ownership. Then you had Bell, CJA, and Freeman. They were 8, 8, and 10 in terms of mentions. They were 5, 6, and 9 in terms. So there was a few outliers on that list. However, I still think it's very good in projecting that out. So that is something that I would pay attention to moving forward. As always, you can find the cheat sheet up on rotoexperts.com. You can find it up on sportsgrid.com too. There is a very handy Excel sheet that you can download for your personal use, which sorts everything by ownership from Thursday night. It sorts it by Fantasy Aces prices, the ownership, DraftKings prices, and FanDuel. And shout out to my guy, Jack Carpenter, for putting that together every single week. It's really great. Makes it free for everyone. So I recommend you go download it. If you just want to, you know, input things, you can convert it into a CVS and make whatever you want out of it. Plus, I will say that if you do want to build some lineups this week, as I mention every week, go to TFFDFS on Twitter, the Fantasy Fanatics, a great resource for finding all the ownerships from basically every contest from every sport, and a great way to generate lineups if you're playing multiple entries in some of these bigger GPPs. Again, they're not paying me, they don't ask me to do this, but it's something that I use that I just want to pass forward. I think it's a really cool site, and I think that everyone should go check it out. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Pat Mayo Hour. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. That's good, because we live in the 21st century. It's fast, powerful, and completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. You hate searching through stacks of old files or paperwork? Well, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/mayo. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Wide receivers. Cam Meredith, 28%. Johnny Brown, 27%, but obviously that is a Monday night game. So at $4,300 on Fantasy Aces, John Brown's 27%. That allocation of money is going to go elsewhere. It might go on to Cam Meredith, who's at a very similar price. Michael Thomas is at a similar price. Chris Hogan, Terrell Pryor is very close to that number as well on Fantasy Aces. So you can see that distribution breaking down a little bit in other ways. But Meredith Brown, Marv Jones, 20%. Larry Fitz in the Monday nighter, 13%, Will Fuller 13%, Hogan 12, Macklin 11, Kelvin Benjamin 10, Brandon Cooks 10, Sammy Coates 10. Sammy Coates is still dealing with that hand laceration. It's a soft cast. It looks like he's going to play. But the big thing, it's not necessarily the hand that worries me. What worries me here in this game is potential game script. And I guess with Sammy Coates, if he's going to score, generally speaking, it's going to be on a really long play. And Pittsburgh's always going to take shots no matter where they are at in the game. Up by 20, down by 20. They're going to try it out. If it's there, Ben's going to make that play. But it looks like Eli Rogers might be returning this week. Remember Eli Rogers from like week one? And everyone's like, man, Eli Rogers, pretty good. Let's use him. Yeah. Probably shouldn't have used him. He's been dealing with a toe injury. He's been active but not playing in a lot of the past 3 weeks, I believe it is. But he appears to be on track to play this week on Sunday, which could take snaps away from Sammy Coates. Now, obviously, Eli plays on the inside. Coates plays on the outside. It's just different packages that you might see. It could hurt Jesse James's overall numbers as well. But something to monitor. I'm not super high on Coates this week. I get it. If you want to take that big playability, put the big shots in. But for me, and I'm playing Steelers, only really three Steelers I'm really worried about playing this week. Big on Bell, have Bell everywhere. Steelers D, I think, is really nice against a really bad Ryan Tannehill. And Jesse James, just because of the touchdown potential and his price point, that if he scores, he returns it in fold very quickly. But if you get to this next 10 of players, Michael Thomas is at 9%. I like Michael Thomas. I even like Michael Thomas in cash games this week because of the price. Terrell Pryor, 8. Snead, 8. Cooper, 8. Emmanuel Sanders was 7% owned in the Thursday night contest. DeSean Jackson, 7. Antonio Brown, 6. I'm going to say that's probably going to be around the spot. People don't really want to pay up $10,000 on DraftKings in order to have Antonio Brown. So you really have to figure out what the rest of your team looks like. It might be a nice spot if you think Brown goes off to maybe play some stars and scrubs with him. But for me, yeah, it's going to be a fade this week, and that really pains me to say because I love me some Antonio Brown. And frankly, there's never really a bad spot to play Antonio Brown, but this could be it. Who knows? Allen Robinson, 6. Jarvis Landry, 6. Doug Baldwin, 6. Tavon Austin, 6. And then you get into like your T.Y. Hiltons. They're sub 5%. Jordan Matthews is 3. Odell Beckham is 3. Jordy Nelson is 2. The Packers in general are just weirdly under-owned this week. I always thought that publicly people liked the Packers, but I guess this Cowboys team freaking the hell out of everyone. Rodgers, Cobb, and Nelson, and Lacy all below 2% owned, respectively, at their position. So if you do want to do a GPP contrarian stack, it looks like the Packers are going to be the ones that no one else is on. And you know that Aaron Rodgers has these games in him where he can really post a lot of gaudy points. You just have to pick the right guys to be on. This could be one of those weeks. And you don't have to take many shots to be one of the few people that have those stacks. Other guys that are 2% or below, Quincy Enunwa in the Monday Nighter, if you play one of those contests, only 2%. I found that surprising with everyone being like, well, Ben Marshall can't do anything. Patrick Peterson's going to shut him down. He might shut him down, but I think there's enough volume and targets that Brandon Marshall's going to overcome it anyway. He's going to get 15 targets in this game. He just put up a touchdown on Richard Sherman. I feel like he's going to be fine. And the one thing that when you look at all these stats regarding a lot of the elite corners is very sparsely will people attack them. So, like, when you watch the Arizona games, it's like, oh, they're throwing to everywhere else on the field besides at Patrick Peterson. I'm getting the names all mixed up, and now I'm sick. Basically, what happens is no one throws at these guys. So you look at the numbers, it's like, oh, well, they've only allowed 37 yards per game, or they're only allowing 2 catches per game, but it's on like 4 targets. Brandon Marshall, they're not going to shy away from passing to him just because he has a lockdown coverage on him. They're going to force the ball. That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. So you give him 15 targets, even if he only brings down 6, that could be enough to have a very quality fantasy day. Plus, if he looks at him in the red zone, Brandon Marshall can overcome matchups. I'm not too concerned about that. So I do like Brandon Marshall, and no one's really even on him. He's at 4% ownership. Julio Jones, 1%. Brendan LaFell, who I really like this week at the Patriots, take away AJ Green. He's 2%. Eddie Royals, 1%. Ted Ginn's, 1%. Another way to get exposure to that game. If you want to take some of the lower end guys on Carolina, we know he's the big play threat. Obviously, only tournament play, not cash. The last one is Tyler Lockett. Again, in that Seattle game, it's all about weather concerns. But I've been talking about Tyler Lockett all week. I think he's back to close to 100% coming off the PCL tear at 2% ownership. He is someone that I'm going to be running A, through my lineups just by himself, and B, as a part of a stack with Baldwin and Russell and Graham and Russell, and then try to do some Baldwin-Graham-Russell stacks as well. I'm still going to concentrate a lot of my ownership this week on the Seahawks offense outside of the running game. I'll take the passing game against Atlanta and hope that works out. Again, if the wind picks up and I see that it's like 15, 12 to 20 or even higher mile per hour winds, or it's a torrential downpour, then I'm going to have to make some readjustments on Sunday morning. But as it stands right now, that is the way that I'm still going. Looking back at last week in terms of the ownership numbers, where are you at here? Here we are. Wide receivers. Odell Beckham was the most talked about receiver after everyone said, oh, he's a really sneaky play. Everyone talked him up. He ended up being the second highest owned guy. Edelman was second. He was fifth. Brown was the third most mentioned. He was first. Jordy Nelson was the third most mentioned. He was fourth. Quincy Enunwa was the tied for third most mentions. He was ninth. Brandon Marshall was the seventh most talked up. He was third. So the wide receivers were pretty on par with the FanshareSports.com ownership numbers. So if we look at it this week and see what the guys are doing at the top, we got, who we got here? Jeremy Maclin, most talked about guy. I mean, I like Jeremy Maclin a lot. Cam Meredith, Will Fuller tied for second. Allen Robinson fourth. I don't know if the Allen Robinson point is going to come through because as my guy Siege actually mentioned to me, that Jacksonville hasn't played on the Sunday slate in a while. So they were in that Sunday game. So they were on the main Sunday slate in London. So they didn't play. They were on bye last week. They didn't play. There does become a point where people just forget about them. People like to play their guys every week. And Allen Robinson hasn't appeared as a guy that the on the slate that most people play on over and over. So there is a chance that despite being the fourth most talked about guy in GPP play, that Allen Robinson could still be sub 10%, which I think is a really nice spot against the Bears in a tournament option you may want to deploy. Antonio Brown is fifth. Doug Baldwin and Kelvin Benjamin and Sammy Coates are all tied with him for fifth most mentions. Then it's T.Y. Hilton and Jarvis Landry. I actually haven't heard too many people talk about Jarvis Landry, but in this game script, it makes a lot of sense against Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh's going to jump out to such a gigantic lead all of a sudden, then you would expect Jarvis Landry to end up with a lot of just greasy receptions down the list. It's hard to say because we saw that scenario play itself out last week. Didn't do any good for Jarvis Landry. He only ended up with three targets, which was kind of insane. But when you get him in spots, that is more of an outlier game, as we've seen, than the norm. So it might be a decent week to jump back on the Jarv, especially on DraftKings and full point PPR. If you wanted to use him in cash games, I mean, I can't really say much against that. I do think that he does have a nice floor. And when you have players that have a nice floor in terms of PPR receptions, then you're probably going to end up being pretty good in that spot. Fellas, you don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer to all your problems. And to prove how amazing their shave really is, right now, they're going to give you first month free to join the club. And DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to my door for a third of the price what regular razors cost. I mean, that's pretty good. The convenience factor alone would be enough to pay the same as I would normally pay for a razor because I don't have to go get it. But now it's a third of the price and they're delivering it to me. Yeah, that sounds pretty good, so you may want to check that out. So go to DollarShaveClub.com and pick a razor that works for you. They have a bunch of them. I use the executive blade because I'm an executive. You know, sometimes I wear one of those t-shirt tuxedos and it makes me feel like a big man. Also, when I shave with the executive blade, it makes me feel like a big man too, especially when I use it with their Dr. Carver Shave Butter. And the blade just gently glides across my skin for the smoothest shave ever. With Dollar Shave Club, you can look like $1 million, you can smell like $1 million, you can shave like $1 million, but you're not paying anything close to $1 million for it. So it seems worth it. And here's your chance to see why over 3 million members like myself love them some Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality of all their products, now you can get your first month of the club for free. Just pay the shipping. After that, a few bucks a month. No long-term commitment, no hidden fees. There's no reason not to do it. And get yours today at DollarShaveClub.com/mayo. That is DollarShaveClub.com/mayo. Quarterbacks. Again, Fantasy Aces is a two-quarterback league, so keep that in mind. But at $4,800 on Fantasy Aces, $5,000 on DraftKings, $64 on FanDuel, Colin Kaepernick ends up as the number one highest-owned quarterback of the week, 20%. Breeze, 18%. Wilson, 16%. That pisses me off. Carson Palmer in the Monday Nighter, 16%. So that is going to allocate the money elsewhere in terms of Sunday. Cam at 14. Alex Smith in the nice matchup is 13. Tom Brady, 10. Mariota, 10. Hoyer, 10, which kind of surprised me because I thought people would be more all in on Hoyer, although his price point on Fantasy Aces compared to DraftKings is a little bit higher compared to the rest of the field. Bennett, 8. Taylor at 8, Derek Carr at 7, Dak Prescott and Trevor Siemian from the Thursday Nighter were 6% owned. Tannehill is 5%, Rivers was 5%, Osweiler 5%, Bortles 4%, Carson Wentz and Matt Stafford at 4%, then the rest of the guys are 2% and below, and that includes Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck and Matt Ryan. Weirdly enough, I'm surprised so many people are on Brock Osweiler. I was thinking I was going to get a bit sneaky, play Fuller, Hopkins, or potentially even C.J. Fedorowicz instead and pair them and stack them with Brock Osweiler in this gravy matchup against the Colts. But it seems like people are somewhat on that. It's a very low percentage play, but something that you can put a lot of points up on the board that no one's going to have. But it's the Aaron Rodgers effect, 1% ownership. Frankly, it's kind of strange. I figured just having that name cachet, I guess it's the week when you look at the top, people are paying for Breeze, people are paying for Wilson, people are paying for Newton, people are paying for Brady, and even Ben is up there too. It just does not leave a lot of ownership to go around for Aaron Rodgers. So again, if you want to do that Packers stack, it's not a great spot. The Dallas defenses look pretty good, but at home, at Lambeau, Aaron Rodgers can dial it up. We've seen him be wildly inefficient so far this season, and it makes a lot of logical sense to fade him. But now when you start thinking about game theory a little bit and he's 1% owned, he could be a guy to jump on and have some exposure to. In terms of being talked up this week, in terms of FanShare Sports ownership, Brady and Hoyer are 1-2. They're followed by Eli Manning, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Wentz. Nope, sorry, this is last week. That is absolutely my bad. So Brady was the most talked about guy last week, and he was second highest owned. Hoyer was second most talked up. He was ninth. All the guys that fell inside the top 10 in terms of most talked up of FanShare Sports last week ended up inside the top 10 in ownership, so that's something to pay attention to. So this week, for reals this time, the guys that are being talked up, Brian Hoyer and Alex Smith are 1-2. We saw that translate on Thursday night. Cam Wilson and Marcus Mariota are at 3. Drew Brees and Brady are at 6. Roethlisberger at 8. Bortles at 9. Tyrod and Brock Osweiler come in at number 10 in terms of overall mentions. I'm very curious to see where that Seattle ownership goes because of the weather situation. I could see people jumping off of them, but who knows? Maybe people are going to think people jump off, don't jump off to get the low ownership, then everyone just ends up owning them. I could see that happening too. Tight ends. Greg Olsen was at the top, despite being the most expensive. That's still no surprise, though, because he is in a very, very, very good spot against the Saints here, putting up wide receiver numbers from the tight end position. But now you're paying for it, $7,000 on DraftKings, $8,100 on FanDuel. He was 23%. Delanie Walker, 20%. Travis Kelce, 7%. C.J. Uzomah, 7%. I mean, there's better options on the board there, people. Like, get it together. Jimmy Graham, 6%. Martellus Bennett, 5%. Zach Miller, 5%. Charles Clay, 5%. Antonio Gates was 4% the Thursday. Pitta at 3%. Fleener at 3%. And then when you start scanning more and more down the list, like Jesse James was 3%. Gronk was only 2%. That's a nice spot for him. Julius Thomas, the elbow injury seems fine. 2%. Weirdly enough, this Jag stack could end up paying dividends here. No one seems to be on it, and it is a very good matchup, especially with a team coming off a bye week at Chicago. Witten 2, Ertz 2, Barnage 2, Hunter Henry was 2, Jordan Reed still 1% owned despite it. It looks like Vernon Davis or potentially Niles Powell could get a lot of those Redskins snaps if Jordan Reed misses time. I don't really trust either one of those guys. They might be a really nice price, but still, my sleeper guy this week, C.J. Fedorowicz, $2,500 on DraftKings. Now, if Ryan Griffin ends up active for that game, which is something we're not going to know until probably midday Sunday after the first games, you would have to find someone else of comparable price. Maybe leave $500 on the table to insert someone else in there, whether it's Jack Doyle, something like that, if you have to. But I do like C.J. Fedorowicz to see a decent amount of the targets in that game against the Colts should Ryan Griffin not play with his concussion. Looking back at last week in terms of tight ends, from FanShareSports.com, Zach Ertz was the most talked about guy, and he was the number one most owned. Turned out he sucked us all in because Zach Ertz was terrible last week. Hunter Henry was second most talked about, but that was from through the week when Antonio Gates was declared active. A lot of people took Hunter Henry out of their lineup last week. He ended up as only the 10th most owned at 3.2%. Rudolph was third. He ended up second. Zach Miller was third. Also, he ended up at fourth. Delanie Walker was fifth. He ended up fifth. So bang on for the tight end ownership levels in terms of FanShare Sports from last week. And this week, who are we talking about? Delanie Walker's at the top. Jimmy Graham is second. Travis Kelce's third. Greg Olsen's fourth. Gronk fifth. Miller sixth, tied with Jesse James, followed by Kobe Fleener. Please don't play Kobe Fleener. Tyler Eifert is eighth, and then Dennis Pitta at 10th. I really like Dennis Pitta this week, actually. I think it's somewhat intriguing in that game. The Giants have had a lot of problems dealing with players over the middle of the field. Those linebackers are not good in coverage, and frankly, you would think that Steve Smith would be the guy to take advantage of a lot of that, but it looks like he's not going to play, leaving a lot of opportunity for Dennis Pitta, especially on DraftKings, to really earn his price in cash games, more so at 4,200. But if he can score a touchdown, he becomes a really nice GPP play too, and he's sort of in that middle range where you're not paying up because people are doing that for either Walker or Olsen, as we saw, or they're paying way down at the position and dropping below that $4,000 threshold, meaning Pitta can go wildly overlooked just because of his price point. And I think that Dennis Pitta is a really nice play this week. Defenses to close this off. We have the Cardinals on Monday night at number one at 17%. So obviously that ownership's going to go elsewhere, probably onto the Bills at 15%. The Texans at 10, the Lions at 8, Bears at 8, Broncos were 5% on Thursday night, Raiders, Titans, Steelers at 4%, Jags, Giants, Seahawks at 3%. The defense that I really like this week, they're 10% owned, is the Houston Texans. I also like these Los Angeles Rams at 1% to generate pressure on Matt Stafford and force Matt Stafford into making some bad decisions. Matt Stafford, known for making bad decisions, extra pressure means probably more bad decisions. But the Texans D against Andrew Luck, who are giving up, I mean, he's getting sacked four times a game. It's a pretty good base right there to begin with. A lot of pressure could lead to turnovers, could lead to scores. And if you do the double dip with Will Fuller, you do have a chance for a return touchdown that can mean double your points. But they're very highly owned. I would go onto the Steelers at 4% if you don't like that. Very similar situation in Miami and Pittsburgh, as I've been talking about all week, has dialed up their blitz rate to around 41%. Tannehill, the second most sacked quarterback in the league right now, 3.5 per game. That's a very nice base. We know Tannehill not scared to turn it over, which could lead to points for the Pittsburgh Steelers. To talk about the fan share, big ups this week. The Tennessee defense is at the very top, as most talked about, followed by the Bills, Texans, Bears, Patriots, Steelers, then the Packers, Jags, Raiders, and Rams. Obviously, it just seems like a lot of people are going up to the very top of the list, taking the Buffalo Bills, taking the Tennessee Titans, and just moving on their way. I think there are better options at the 3,000 point. Like the Bills, listen, they're fine. The Titans, they're fine. I just don't trust any situation in that game. When you look at the biggest favorites of the week and you see the Bills and Titans as some of those guys from the Sunday slate, that really starts to worry me because I don't think those teams are very good. And this is, listen, Cleveland's not going 0-16. They're going to win a game somewhere. Tennessee is one of those games they could win. Isaiah Crowell can do a lot of damage to them on the ground. It could just be a low-scoring game. And frankly, sometimes low-scoring games aren't great for fantasy defenses. You want some turnovers. You want the chance to generate pressure. And if Tennessee's going to run the ball and wind the clock down, and Cleveland's going to run the ball and wind the clock down, there's not a lot of potential for fantasy scoring. So I think big fade on the Tennessee defense this week. All right, that'll do it for the DFS Ownership Show. Hope you enjoyed. There's a lot of shows going on during the week. Davis on the DraftKings show. Obviously, Andrew Cust and Gary on the pick show. Meany was on the ranking show with its bad audio. I think we have that fixed now, but we'll see for next week. So go check that out. Give them a like. And if you can, on Podomatic, please go sign up. I have allocated an episode, which will be in the description. It's the Week 5 Rankings Debate Show with Seely and I. If you can please just go like that, it will help keep the show free, which I think people like that it's free. And I like that it's free because then people aren't like, oh, I'm paying for these picks and they're terrible. If they're free, go fuck yourselves. You're taking free advice. It's your own fault. All right. Good luck this week. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.